May I speak in the name of God, who is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This last week, we went to the polls to elect our representatives, people who will be making decisions for us and governing us, at least in the local elections. And those who had offered themselves to be elected, of course, had to meet quite a lot of criteria, some thresholds that they had to hold. For instance, for those who wanted to stand to be councillors, they had to put down a deposit of £500. For those who wanted to put themselves forward to be the mayor of London, had to put down a deposit of £10,000. I wonder why, but it's quite different, but there we are. But again, the electorate, the people themselves, had put their demands on these people who had put themselves forward, on the priorities that they see that are quite important within the community. So on one hand, you do have the Electoral Commission putting on conditions upon these people who offer themselves. And as well, we do have the electorate, us, asking and requesting of certain things to be met of these people. And the candidates themselves, they had to work very hard on their image, and they have to work very, very, very hard. And as we have seen in many elections, the candidates themselves, they work quite a lot on their image, on how they are seen outside there. And one of the ways that they work on this is by putting together amazing slogans that most of us recognize very well. Slogans like "Make America Great Again," MAGA. Slogans like "Labor isn't working." Slogans like "Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?" Slogans like "Yes, we can." Slogans like "Don't change horses midstream." And my all-time favorite, "A chicken in the pot and a car in every garage." Slogans meant to focus us to these individuals. And candidates spend thousands, if not millions, on their imaging so that we who are the electorate can be able to elect them. Our gospel reading this morning tells us of one who does not require any of this from us. He knows us very well. He knows that we could not be able to meet the standards, so he brought along his grace, his unmerited favor. He knew we could not be able to meet the demands, so he brought along mercy, not giving us the punishment that we deserved. He knew that we were under a lot of pressure, so he became Emmanuel, God together with us. He came down, lived with us, and he became our friend. You see, friends, we live in a world where we face so much pressure. And some of us today gathered here may be living under enormous pressure. Pressure to fit a certain mold. And because of this, many have gone a long way to try and fit in, so that we can be chosen. People have gone to the extent of changing their appearances so that they can be chosen. People have gone to the extent of lowering their standards so that they may be chosen. People have gone to the extent of denying who they really are so that they may be chosen. Loads have compromised so that they may be chosen. But what is this all about? Why is it so important that people do all these things just to be chosen, just to be part of the fold, just to be among those who are selected? I suppose the thing is about separation. One wanting to be part of the fold not to be separated, to be together with everyone else. So people go all out to do all that they can to be within the fold. When you look at that theologically and spiritually, you see this is the problem of sin. Sin separates us from God, from the one who gave us life, from the one who we find our identity, from the one whom we find the goodness of life, from the one through whom we bear fruits, fruits that last. But it is exciting that this is the exact same problem that Jesus Christ came to solve, that by his death and his resurrection, the wedge that sin had caused, Christ comes and bridges that gap. Christ comes and reunites us with himself. Christ comes and reunites us with God. And so we do have a friend in Jesus. A friend that when we were alienated from the source of life and our identity, while we were lost and doing all manner of things that we may fit in or may be chosen, he did one thing that no one else could ever do for us. Lay down his life. And for that, choosing us, deliberately making that decision that it is us that he wants to be together with us. He chose us just as we are. He made a deliberate decision to be on our side, not because our record was great. In fact, if anything, our history, our past is horrid, laden with failure and darkness. Not because our manifesto was brilliant and exciting and promising a future that is great, but in fact, because our future is bleak, with nothing but condemnation. But very well, still knowing all that, he still chose us. He chose me. He chose you. Like a good friend, he has been on our side in times of trouble. Like a good friend who pops round to check on us, he came down from heaven, laid down his life for each one of us. And the reading from Acts of Apostles is a testament to this, that as Peter was preaching, the Spirit of God came down and fell upon everyone who was gathered in that room, to the astonishment of others. Some had thought that other people should not receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Salvation did not belong to them. But the Holy Spirit came down and fell on each and every person. Those who people thought deserved, and those whom people thought did not deserve this gift of the Holy Spirit. Christ came, the Holy Spirit came down and broke down all these barriers and these boundaries. Christ chose each one because his death, his sacrifice, his gift to all of us is not just to a select few, but to all creation. So this morning, reflecting on those words that Jesus said to his disciples, that you did not choose me, but I chose you. I do not call you servants any longer, but I call you friends. You are a friend of God. You are a friend of Jesus. So I wish to conclude by saying that Jesus is your friend. He not only chose you, but also laid down his life for you, so that you may never live a life of separation ever again, separation from him. He is not like a friend who will desert us when we are in a mess, or when we mess up, or sometimes when we do things. He sticks with us. He's a friend who sticks with us regardless of our past. For there is no sin too great for him. There is no mess too dirty for him. There is no history too dark for him. He is the friend who sticks by us all the time. And by his death and his resurrection, we are united to Christ, he who is the source of our life. And I pray this day that as we prayed in the collect today, that we may be drawn to the fire of his love and to know that he indeed is our friend all the days of our lives. You are chosen of God. Amen.